This is one of Thoreau's favorite places, and Emerson was up here frequently too. And it's all lined with stone walls along both sides of the road, and every so often you come to a sunken place where there was a barn or an old house, and you can still see the old cellars. You can still see where the old farmsteads were. It's a wonderful part of New England. There was a Nathaniel Shaler, who taught geology at Harvard at the end of the 19th century, said that this whole New England landscape was just haunted with ghosts. He said there was an epic wind of sadness that blew over the whole thing. Wonderful phrase.
State the Emerson case about nature. What was it he felt about man's connection with nature and nature's connection with the divine?
Well, I think it goes back to an old Stoic doctrine. Emerson often said that what he was teaching was not new stuff. It was just new names for old stuff. And transcendentalism was not so much a brand new doctrine. But what the Stoics thought was that when you were trying to figure out how to lead a decent life, you shouldn't try to turn to history. You shouldn't turn to God. You shouldn't turn to society. You don't turn to your parents. You turn to nature. And you ask nature, how should I live? Nature is where you get your answers. Nature is what we live in. Nature is something that everybody has or can have a primary relationship to. It's not strained through some college, some country, anything like that. Anybody can have a direct experience of nature. And I think that immediacy, that connection, was what he felt and what he was trying to get across. Thoreau's famous for going out in the woods all the time. But Emerson walked out to Walden Pond every day before Thoreau even got there. And, of course, it was Emerson's land that Thoreau was on. But Emerson's son said that you could see the woods above Walden from Emerson's study, from his backyard. Before Concord grew up again to all this woods, you could see to the horizon in almost any direction. And his son said it drew him. Walden and its woods drew him every day for a walk. As much as Thoreau, Emerson had to be out in nature.
Bob, you said so many interesting things about nature, but I want you to touch on the kind of the transcendental element in it.
I think the struggle that Emerson solved for himself in one way in the book was that he brought himself to call the book Nature. This is his little book of 1836. Because the other name for it might have been The Spirit.
Interesting.
Because this was a man who believed that there is a spirit behind nature. That nature is finally all metaphor, that we are finally all metaphor, and that there is some spirit behind and animating all this stuff. And usually that belief goes along with a sort of indifference for the material world, the stuff itself, which Emerson did not feel. But he did think that nature was just the visible part of something that was greater, that was behind it, that was invisible.
He speaks somewhere of having an occult relation with the vegetable.
Yeah.
But there's also
yeah.
that marvelous line where he says, I feel the centipede in me, caiman, carp, eagle, and fox. I am moved by strange sympathies. I say continually, I will be a naturalist.
People had a lot of fun with it. He had a friend named Christopher Cranch who drew caricatures of Emerson sitting like a big pumpkin in the sun and just expanding, apropos of feeling occult sympathies with nature. Occult means hidden, and it just meant that he felt underground connections to nature, to the natural world, that weren't always obvious, that you would see animals, or we saw a rabbit jump across the road just a little while ago. You can jump with the rabbit. You can feel some sympathy for that rabbit having to watch the oncoming car. I think Emerson had much more of a practical naturalist's, I will say, hopes. He didn't have his skills. He wasn't much of a gardener. But he loved being out of doors. He would take his children walking and would teach them everything, which were the white oaks and which were the scarlet oaks and what flowered when, what were the birds' calls. And his kids remember walking, holding his hand through the woods, and he would teach them everything that was out in the woods. He was a practical naturalist that way.
These woods, this wind is so beautiful. I want to get back to nature itself. It was Emerson's first famous essay, but there's this marvelous moment right at the beginning. In good health, the air is a cordial of incredible virtue. Crossing a bare common in snow puddles at twilight under a clouded sky, without having in my thoughts any occurrence of special good fortune, I have enjoyed a perfect exhilaration. I am glad to the brink of fear.
God, it's a wonderful line. It's a wonderful line. Here we are. We are walking down this road. You could get glad to the brink of fear on an afternoon like this. Got the wind roaring and the sun is screaming up there and the clouds are pouring overhead. How much more alive do you need to be?
Now, this will do. This
is wonderful.
Great.
This will really do.
Emerson complained that Hawthorne never said a word on their walks in these woods. Thoreau probably talked his ear off. I'd love you to talk a little bit about that friendship.
Well, they were very close, and there's been a funny thing happen among scholars and students, and that is that people have felt that they had to sort of take sides, either Thoreau's side against Emerson or Emerson's against Thoreau. And I really don't see why that has to be at all, because Emerson and Thoreau were really very close. It was practically like family. Let's take the left. Henry had a kind of special place in the Emerson household. Whenever anything had to be done that was outdoors or at all difficult or required skill, they would ask Henry to come and do it. He was very good at it. One time Lydian complained that the chickens were scratching up her garden, so Henry made gloves for the chickens. And for years the gloves were kept in a little drawer in a special stool in the house to show people. But the affinity between the two, I think, was very deep. And although there were real underlying differences as well. Emerson is finally a Platonist. He finally believes there's one world, that everything is unified, that everything finally will fit together, and that ideas are ultimately more real than anything else. And I think Henry came to a position that was almost the opposite. He came to a kind of Aristotelian position that what is real is the real world, this stuff, not just ideas of it. That what matters is the tangible world. He had a sort of genius for the practical, for the actual, for stone. Look at the stone walls on both sides of us. Walking down, this has been a New England road for 150 years. This is what Henry would love about it, is that it's tactile presentness. There the stone walls are, and here the leaves come falling. Emerson probably would have been thinking a little more of all of the people who had lived here, all the ghosts who are out there, and the families, names.
What does it mean in all these senses of Emerson and Emersonism? Where do you find that mind today? What is it thinking?
The Emersons are people who are in the movement, not the establishment. I think of figures automatically like Nelson Mandela. I think of Václav Havel. I think of Martin Luther King. People who had a liberating mission. Because I think finally, maybe the central thing about Emerson is not nature, not self-reliance, not a religious thing. But it's a liberating influence. And he wrote poetry about how the great thing about poetry is its liberation of the spirit and liberating people. One reason he got into the anti-slavery movement was that he believed in liberation, not just of others, but of oneself. So that's a big part of the Emersonian spirit. He's whatever is not trying to keep the human spirit in the prison of forms. I love it out here with this wind howling through the trees. It's like the heat scene in King Lear. King Lear is out there screaming, you know, blow winds, crack your cheeks. As he's going half crazy, but you feel it.
He's glad to the brink of fear.
There has to be something more than just a calm appreciation. When this sort of energy gets into it, and you suddenly sort of feel a connection with a day like this, this is what the spirit is like. Spirit means wind. And spirit means wind. This is the spirit blowing through these woods. I love it. My wife told me when I started on this book, make sure you understand that you get across the point that Emerson is a wild man or he's nothing.
That's a very important point. He is about the wild man in himself, the wild man in all of us.
He is.
And he says it.
We dress him up as a kind of plaster saint or a figure of respectability at the peril of completely missing him, because it's that inner energy. The man with the image of the volcano on his lips all the time. This is not calmness. This is not placidity. This is not gentility and manners. This is about some really wild Dionysian energy in there.